prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Like a battlefield.
There's a battle for the soul of America.
We can't let him tear the kingdom down.
This is no game. This is war.
Flesh and blood. It's between the bad and good. We can't stop until the trumpet sounds. This is war. Not a game we're playing. This is a war.
The only question is, which side will you be on? It's time now for a call to decision with Pastor Butch Paul.
Satan's armies come to kill. This is war.
Hello and welcome, my friends. This is Pastor Butch Paul. It's the last day of February, 28th February, 2022. Welcome to tonight's program. I'm glad you're with us tonight. We're going to bring up a very special guest in a few minutes. I'll introduce you in a minute to you. I think you'll enjoy talking to, listen to Shun Tomlin and maybe ask some questions over after the break, before or after the announcements. Before we get started the program, though, with the guest, I'll make mention a couple things. People are still ordering the packet we've been offering. You know, 80-some, 90-page packet we have on the COVID story and the fact that back in 1917, they were working on a vaccination to take the name of God out of you before DNA was ever thought of. Folks, that's all history. It's all proven. This packet is something that you need to read for yourself and share with family. Make copies of and get to everybody you can. Been offering now for about a month, and people still want it. We're offering a packet and a DVD that a teaching I did about a month or so ago entitled Destroying the Temple. It tells you, explains you from a scientific viewpoint and proof that your DNA has the name of God in it. YHWH is in your DNA, and it's taken out with the vaccine and replaced with something else. I don't want you replaced with. It didn't tell us, but folks, this is very serious. And to put something in you that defiles a temple is a very serious situation. Very serious. So the packet, a some 90 page DVD, folks. Donation $25-$30 where you can afford. We'll get it to you. If people still want it, so I'll keep mentioning for a while longer. It's a very, very, very important packet of information. And don't forget, we still have the REM sleep. While it lasts, we have quite a bit of it left. But once it's gone, folks, there's no more left. The $12.50 bottle, that includes delivery price. You buy 10 or more, you get $10 a bottle while they last. And our new catalog is out. If you want a copy of our newest catalog, 2022 catalog, write us, call us, whatever. Give us your address. Just tell Lisa, I want a catalog. No charge. We'll put in the mail to you ASAP. Just say, I want the catalog for 2022. And it'll be on the way just as soon as we get it to you. So just call and ask for it. No charge there at all. And we are going to have Bible study this weekend. I talked to Phil yesterday. He's feeling much better. Still weak. He lost 25 pounds, folks. With a couple of weeks he was sick. But he's coming back. He's still weak. But he wants to have Bible study this weekend. So this weekend coming, you can join us live. If you want to go to our website, pastorbutch.com, and click on live stream, there will be. Or you can call us on the phone, listen to us. At 10:30 a.m. Eastern time, you can call us on 339-209-5013. 339-209-5013. Listen to the teaching and the current events. We start at 10:30, as you know, with prayer reports and prayer requests. And then we go into current events at 11:30. and then at 1 to go into the teaching. So I hope you'll join us this coming Saturday. I really mean that. It's been a while since I've been here because Phil's been sick. But hopefully this weekend back to somewhat normal. So keep feeling your prayers, folks. They'll keep continuing getting stronger. And you heard me ask the prayer request for Freddie. Freddie is having, of course, he has cancer. He's going through chemo and radiation. I know all the stories behind that. But he's fighting as hard as he can. Keep Freddie in your prayers, please. And Johnny. Y'all know Crystal here in the office. And Judy worked with us for a long time. Now Johnny's sick. She's with him every day, so she can't be in the office. But Johnny is slowly gaining ground. Very slowly gaining ground. So keep Johnny in your prayers, please, folks. If I missed anybody tonight, forgive me. Remind me to mention again. If I missed you, I'm sorry. I don't mean to. But I have a hard time keeping up with all this information. So keep that in mind. But anyway, let's get to our guest now. Our guest tonight is named Shun Tomlin. That's S-H-U-N Tomlin, T-O-M-L-I-N. She sent me a copy of a book entitled Hidden, Her Truth and Pain. Now, the world is in, and I'm saying this politely, is in a hell of a mess, is it not? I mean, it is in a mess. Maybe on the verge of World War III. God forbid, but it could be, or even a nuclear war, and even God forbid that more. But sometimes it gets wrapped up into what we call big news. We forget about the individuals and what they may have went through. Somewhere in the world tonight, listen to this broadcast all over the world, somebody going to hear this testimony of Shun. Shun, as a young child, I would say went through hell with people that abused her and mistreated her, and she had to live through it and survive through it. And by the grace of God, come out on the other end even stronger with a great testimony. So if you're out there tonight and maybe you had some situation, maybe you've been abused mentally, physically, or even sexually, God forbid that too, but folks, it happens. It really happens. I want you to pay attention to Shun's testimony, and I want you to give comments and questions next half hour too, as always, because we want to hear from you. If you're out there tonight and you're hurting because of some of this, now's your chance to listen to how Shun was healed. Matter of fact, this coming weekend, I'm going to do a teaching on Saturday entitled Forgiveness Equals Healing. Folks, this is a very important teaching. Your soul depends on it. Your soul depends on your forgiveness of others. That's a fact. That is Bible, but teach us weekend. And Shun Tomlin, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
It is such an honor to have you, sweetheart, and I mean that. Thanks for joining us tonight.
Thank you. The pleasure is all mine.
Well, you know, I haven't got to speak to you very often. Just on the phone once in a while, and mm-hmm. I love your personality. I like who you are and what you are, and I want you to know that.
Thank you, I appreciate that.
Well, your book, I read the book. It's not a real big book, folks. It's not huge, mm-hmm. but the stories in it are right to the point and very touching stories. Before we get into the story tonight and what happened to you, tell us a little bit about Shun. What's your biography as far as who you are and what you've done as far as with your life? Then I'm gonna get into your story.
Okay, my name is author Shun Jameson Tomlin. I'm a minister. I'm a certified marriage coach along with my husband. We're both entrepreneurs. I volunteered and worked in education for over 20 years. We just celebrated our 30th year anniversary, January the 4th, which I thank God for. And we are grandparents of two boys. We have four kids, and we're both active in the church and in our community. And one of the desires that we both have is to bridge the communication gaps from home to community. And so that's one of the things that, you know, we work on, try to bridge that communication gap, because there's a midpoint right there, communication from community and communication, you know, within the house. So that's one of our desires, is to bridge that gap.
Amen. Well, I was just thinking, you said y'all been married 30 years. 20 more, you'll catch my wife and I.
Uh-oh, wow.
Yeah, so you better hurry up. Oh, she's been a very patient woman.
Wow, yeah.
She's been a very patient woman. But anyway, Shun, I want you to share your story. And this book, folks, is written like she's talking about somebody else. It's her personal story of what she went through as a child. And to read it will kind of break your heart, because it's hard for me to imagine a little child, boy or girl, either one, who's been mistreated and don't know how to share it, how to feel about it, how to fix it, and who to trust. Son, tell us, just go in and start from where you want to start. Let the Holy Spirit lead you and tell us what you want us to hear. And folks, out there tonight, again, if you're going through some of this, you know somebody is, listen to what Sean's testimony is. And if you have any questions, you feel free to call. Go ahead, Sean.
Okay, thank you, Pastor. Well, like Pastor said, my name is Sean Tomlin. I'm born and raised in Chicago, Illinois, city girl. When I was 10 years old, I was molested by someone that was very familiar with me. He was someone that my mom brought in to help. And in turn, her baby girl, which is me, was the one that ended up getting, that needed the help in the long run. This person came into my bedroom in a bunk bed with my sister. It was three of us in the bedroom, but me being the youngest one, I was the one that was targeted. Climbed up into my bed and started touching me. And at first I thought I was dreaming. I'm like, okay, what is this? And I was shocked. I was basically paralyzed with fear. I couldn't speak. I couldn't move. I couldn't do anything. But well, thank God.
Sean, you said you were 10 years old, right?
Yeah.
So up until this time, your life been normal, so to speak, and just a little girl enjoying your childhood.
Yes, just a young girl enjoying being a child. I mean, sex was not even on my radar, you know, so boys wasn't even on my radar at the time, so, yeah.
Okay, yeah, go right ahead.
He began to, like, funnel me, and thank God for my sister. She woke up and scared him off. But my family still didn't know what he had done to me. And the next morning,
I don't mean to interrupt you. I got to ask a lot of questions along the way. Now, you're 10 years old.
Mm-hmm.
What was your emotion? I mean, other than fear, did you feel like you should tell somebody, or did you think you couldn't tell somebody?
I was too ashamed. Even though I didn't know what was happening to me, I felt it was an emotion of shame. You know what I'm saying? I felt dirty for something that I didn't even understand. And I couldn't tell anyone because no one even asked me what happened. So I just figured, you know, it was just okay. So I just put my emotions and my feelings to the side. So I didn't know how to even process that feeling that I was feeling at 10 years old. So that was like, that right there was the first part of fear being implanted in my heart. And so, you know, that went on. The next morning, no one said anything. And in my head, I'm thinking in the back of my mind, is anyone going to say anything? No one going to say anything. I'm not going to say anything. So everything was just, you know, it was just normal.
Well, now, was the person done that to you? He was there with you, right, at the time?
In the same house. Yes, same house.
The same house. So he was there the next morning with you. And,
yep.
Gosh, I can't imagine how that would feel. I mean, you're right. He's right there with you in the same house. I can't imagine how you felt. Go ahead.
Yep, same house. And so from that moment, every time I saw that person, it was just like a form of fear that was, you know, would come over me. I didn't say anything to that person. That person was normal towards me around everyone, walking around like they didn't do anything. So, you know, as 10 years old, you know, I just tried to go on with my life, try not to even think about it. But in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, like, you know, I know this isn't right, but I don't exactly know what happened to me. And one thing is, let me just reiterate this. A lot of people think that if you're not penetrated, you're not molested. So any touch down there by your private area, you're being violated. So non-penetration, that does still equals molestation. So,
Absolutely.
And then so it was probably like around 2 weeks later, the same thing happened, but this time it was even worse. It got to the point where they climbed in my bed again, bothering me again. But this time, they almost penetrated me. But thank God they didn't. This was even worse. And by this time, my sister called my mom and told my mom. And my mom, she just, like, really lost it. You know, she went off on, you know, the guy, and, you know, she took him in the room. She gave him a good lashing. She told him, you know, you need to find your girlfriend, you know, this, that, and the other. But I was still left to deal with, I'm not okay. Is anyone going to ask me, am I okay? No one still asked me, was I okay? So as a child, I'm there like, okay, so did I do something wrong? Am I the person that's in the wrong? All the attention is going on the person that's violating me, even though it's negative attention, but no one is trying to see if I'm okay. No attention. Everyone acts normal. I mean, it was nothing. It was like, are you okay? What did this person do? You know, anything. Well,
did your mom not talk to you about that? Did she not share anything with you?
She did not share anything with me about that. And to be honest, I feel, and let's just be clear, my mom was one of the most, she's deceased now, the Lord took her home. My mom was one of the, like, she was one of the, like, sweetest women you would want to meet. She was, you know, was one of those people that, you know, wanted to make sure everyone was, you know, in her neighborhood was okay, the kids was fed, you know, all that. But
a lot of times when
you're doing all that, you miss the little things that's going on in your household.
Wow.
So I was just left to deal with that pain. And so I believe one of the ways my mom dealt with it was moving me from out of my bedroom to sleep in a bedroom with her. I think that was one of the ways she coped with it. Like, if I just move her in a bedroom with me, she would be okay. But I wasn't okay. My heart was broken. And so, and seeing that person that violated me every day, day in, day out, that was difficult. But as a child, I did not know how to process those feelings. So I just bottled it up inside. And that,
okay, well, can I ask you a question? I don't mean to interrupt. This is so interesting. I mean, it's sad but interesting. Why didn't your mom not run that person off or call the law or something? What was the purpose that she didn't get upset and run him out of there?
You know, Pastor Bush, I believe probably at that time, to be honest, I think at that time, I'm going to just speak candidly, like in the African-American community, there were so certain things that wasn't spoken about outside of the household. And I believe that was one of the things that what goes on in the household stays in the household. And like in the 70s, you didn't hear too much about, you know, rape or, you know, molestation. And if you did hear about it, it was shunned on. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah, I know. I can't imagine as a parent, I don't know what I would have done. I never went through it. But I can't imagine how that she could live at peace with that individual who had done this.
Yeah. And I think, too, I believe that knowing who my dad was, I believe that in some certain way that she was probably protecting my dad as well. Because I know in my heart of hearts, if my dad would have known, I'm just being honest, he probably would have killed him. You know,
I can understand that. I can understand that. Yeah. Whether it's right or wrong, I can understand that. Yes.
Yeah. Knowing the type of man my dad was. So, and now as a parent, I had to think about, like, you know, certain things, you know, that would go on with my child. I don't want to bring, you know, certain embarrassment on. I tried to put myself in my mom's shoes when I became a parent, because we've never discussed this. Even, you know, when I became an adult, me and my mom never discussed this. And that was one of the things I just regret, that was something that we never discussed. You know, what was she feeling? And I wanted her to know that, you know, I don't blame her because I understand, you know, although my dad was in my life, my mom pretty much raised me and my siblings by herself. You know, so my dad wasn't like in the home, but he was in our life. And my mom worked with the school, you know, did stuff like that, wanted better for us. But at the same time, I was left to deal with hurt that I should not have been left to deal with on my own.
Well, tell me, how, whenever you were moved out of there, your sister's room with your mom, how old were you?
I was still 10. This all happened.
Still 10.
This all
okay.
happened, I would say, within like a couple of months. But I was still
okay.
in, I was still, you know, 10 years old. The person was still in the same house and everything. And we were all raised close, and we were all raised. And the strange part about it is, Pastor Butch, I had resentment for this person, but I never hated that person. I hated the act, but I never hated the person because, like I said, my mom instilled in us, you know, about love, you know, accepting people and stuff like that. So I never felt like I hated that person. Now, I had, like, strong resentment for that person, and I had a fear towards that person. But I never, like, hated that person or wanted to see anything bad happen to that person because we were brought up to be, like, you know, brothers and sisters, you know. So
right.
I always struggled with that. Even as an adult, it was like, I don't understand why I never hated this person, even though they did this thing to me.
Well, you know, deep down inside, that was really a blessing. It really was. That was a blessing that God gave you not to do that because unforgiveness generally hurts the person that carries it more than the ones that you're mad at.
That's true. Yeah.
So what happened? What happened next?
So, well, like I say, after that ordeal, you know, I was still seeing a person and uncomfortable and all that stuff. So. It was never talked about. So I was just left to carry that. So I began to act out. I would do things to act out to get attention, even if it was negative attention. I just felt that I needed attention. I don't care what it was. So, you know, went on. We eventually moved to Milwaukee. My mom brought myself, my siblings, and this other person, to move to Milwaukee. Things were going good, but like I said, there was a void, always a void in my heart. I felt that something was always missing, and I felt like there was always dread, like a dark cloud that was following me. And so thank God I was able to suppress what had happened to me because I dealt with it for a couple of years. It would like play back in my mind for a couple of years. But I thank God that I was able to suppress it. But although I was able to suppress it, the effects of what I was suppressing show up in my ways and my actions. So I was always...
Explain that. What did you do to get attention?
Yeah. So I was always one of those, like, quiet kids, you know, so I began to like act out, like skip school, and I figured like, okay, skipping school, I'm getting calls home, you know, to my mom. Well, that's attention. I started lying. I would lie about anything, and then when it come true, you know, that I was lying, that's attention. It was like I would do anything that I can negative just to seek some attention and some validation. But in the long run, I started hurting myself. So when I was probably around in, I believe I was in my 12th grade in high school. I was in 12th grade in high school. You know, I end up going to a classmate's house. Because the classmate was like, okay, we're going to have a party at my house. So, and it was ironic because this classmate, we saw each other in passing, but we did not hang around the same crowd. So I was like, okay, I'll go. And if take it back to my mom. When we moved to Milwaukee, my mom ended up giving her life over to the Lord. So we, although we've been in church all our life, my mom didn't give her life over to the Lord until we moved to Milwaukee. So, going dancing, going parties, having boyfriends, that was just totally out of the question. Totally no. So when I was asked to go to the party, you know, during school hours, I was like, okay, my mom's not going to find out because, hey, she's at work. What's the harm in it? So I go to the guy's house and I'm there. And when I tell you, everything in my mind was telling me, Sean, this is the wrong idea. This is a bad idea. Turn around. Do not do it. Do not do it. And then I'm talking to myself saying, well, yeah, I'm only be there for a little while. My mom is not going to know. This is the last party of the year. I'm be graduating high school. So what's the harm in it? So get to the party and I'm on the last step. And everything is telling me, you need to leave, you need to leave. And I'm talking to myself, nope, I'm going to be a party. I'm going to the party. So when I get there, I notice that it's just myself and the guy. And I'm like, okay, where are the other people? He was like, oh, they'll be here. And I was like, okay. So he's just making small talk with me. And so he was like, okay, sit on the couch. And in the room, it was like the couch is in the middle of the basement. And it was just like, you know, those disco lights just hitting the walls. And it was pretty much dark down there other than the disco lights. So I was like, okay, I'll just go sit on the couch. So we are sitting on this couch and we started making small talk. And then he gets to telling me, you know, he always liked me. I never paid him any attention. And I mean, it went from, you know, like regular school kids talk to, I mean, it was bad. And so my sixth sense was like, okay, Sean, it's time to go. Soon as I got up, pushed my arms down on the couch to get up, he pounced right on top of me. I said, oh, my God. And he actually tried to rape me. And my frame was so little, and he was like a bigger guy. I mean, I was doing everything in my power. We were, like, tussling to get him. And at the time, I only wore skirts. We were, like, tussling, and thank God he could not. He was trying to unbuckle my skirt like I had on pants. Thank God he didn't go the other way. So he just kind of, you know, kept messing with my buckle like I had on pants. And we were just tussling. I'm pleading. I'm begging. I'm like, I won't tell anyone, you know, this and the other. And just I just thank God that, you know, all of a sudden he just ended up getting up. And he was, like, upset with me. And I'm like, I'm thinking to myself, why are you upset with me when you just tried to force yourself on me? But the crazy part
Hang on to the break, Sean. Hang on to the break, okay? Folks, back to break with phone calls, questions. You're living through this. Let us know. We want to help. 844-769-2944. 844-769-2944. We're talking about real life tonight, folks. From a young lady that had to live this mess. Don't go away.
Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men.
5 years ago, I had such chronic back pain that at one point I bought 3 mattresses within an 18-month period, hoping to relieve my lower back pain. I was only 40, and I hiked daily along with eating a fairly healthy diet. I was not overweight and didn't really have a reason for my back pain. As soon as I started using 3 sprays of Synergy One each morning, the pain immediately went away, and I've never had it again. I also use Synergy One before bed for a better night's sleep. Whenever my mom has back pain, I remind her to use Synergy One. Sure enough, she's all better after using it. I've probably given over 10 bottles away to friends with back pain. I take it when I travel and never miss a day.
Raising growth hormone levels to a more youthful level consistently results in deeper sleep, better energy and mood, fat loss, and the elimination of pain through the repair of injuries. Synergy One is guaranteed to improve the health of your body or your money back. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit synergisticuniverse.com.
Hello, folks. Pastor Butch here to tell you about our newest sponsor, a store food company that truly surpasses all the others for quality and flavor. Numana Storable Foods, the only storable food manufacturer that has all their foods grown in the USA. They are GMO-free, and no artificial sweeteners, no high fructose corn syrup, no MSGs, no chemical preservatives, and no soy. They are simply the best storable foods available for all the right reasons. Go to Nemana.com or call 888-597-0775 and mention code Pastor Butch and get 10% off your merchandise. Again, Numana.com or call 888-597-0775. Mention code Pastor Butch for a 10% discount.
Are you paying an arm and a leg for a healthy alternative lifestyle? Are you tired of products not meeting your expectations? Is it becoming harder for you to have faith in restoring your body to the temple it began as? I know your struggle is real, and I'd be honored to help you and those you care about feel better and thrive. With organic ingredients and no fillers made right here in our own country, many of which are wildcrafted right here in the mountains of Montana, we at Superior Mountain Herbs are blessed to be able to get you the best herbal products with no hassles or misleading information. Truth and transparency is what you get with us. For a free list of products available to hear this month's special as well, please call Summer at 406-274-7579 or email me at green with an E at the end, assistantsummer@gmail.com. That's green with an E at the end, assistantsummer@gmail.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
This is war, not a game we're playing. This is a war.
This is war.
Hear me what I'm saying. Pick up your sword and shield. Get on the battlefield. Satan's armies come to kill.
And folks, again, if you have any questions, comments, it's 844-769-2944. We're talking to a young lady tonight who went through what I would call hell as a child. And although she really was never full of anger or bitterness toward this individual, she's living now in a life of somewhat rebellion, I'm sure, because she wants attention. She may have not gotten what she needed when she was younger, so she's trying to find attention, and now in the wrong places, and it's starting to come out with people she's around and what could happen to her when she's around them. So you go ahead now and tell us, go ahead through the rest of your youth and what happened. Then I want to get into how you managed to heal through this and have a husband and a family and get through this. But you go ahead and share us what went through the rest of your, up to your adulthood. What happened?
Okay, so as I was speaking of the classmate that almost raped me at the party, what was supposed to be a party. So when I was finally let me go, the strange part about it is when I left, for some reason I blamed myself for even being in that predicament. And I was more so worried about the person that tried to attack me more than I was worried about my own feelings, which was strange to me. But I guess since I experienced something like that when I was a child and my feelings was never violated, I always thought about someone else being okay versus me being okay. And I, throughout life, that became my pattern. So I would hurt, but I would validate my own feelings. I would make sure the other person that's hurting me was okay. And so even when I got the question,
how do you explain that? I mean, how do you explain that? I mean, that's really strange. How do you explain that?
To be honest, it's pretty much unexplainable. I guess the best way to say it is think of a person that never even was told that it was really okay to feel or to have emotions, or a person that was never even told that it's okay not to be okay. You know, so that's pretty the best way I can explain it. And I wasn't never told that I was even okay to have feelings. So, I mean, to have feelings or even to think that I was worthy enough to feel hurt, that was strange to me.
It sounded like your mom was a caring individual, but for somehow mm-hmm. or another it didn't translate to you as far as understanding your worth.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. I didn't understand how valuable I was until I got older. And mind you, like I said, my mom was loving, but back in the day we didn't use we were shown love through action. Watching TV with my mom, you know, she combing my hair, I'm playing jacks with her, we're going to church together, she's hugging me, stuff through that. It wasn't like, how are you feeling today? What are your feelings? Tell me, you know, how are you feeling? I wasn't told, you know, it's okay for you to express how you're feeling. So that was one of the things that I didn't get and I didn't understand. I didn't know how to process my feelings as a child. So as I became an adult, I was still left with, okay, how do I express how I'm feeling? How do I express how I am hurting? So that became something that I really, really dealt with. And it really affected my life in areas that when I was hurting or going through something, I never told anyone. I would be in a room full of people laughing, smiling, and crying on the inside, and no one would never know it. And I became what one would call like the great pretender. I was depressed for many years. No one ever knew it. I tried to commit suicide twice. No one ever knew it. So I became great at masking my feelings and what I was dealing with on the inside. So,
how did this affect your life around other girls too, but especially other boys when you went out on a date or something? How did that affect you then? I mean, how did you get trust to be around those boys again?
Yeah. So, my first real boyfriend, believe it or not, my first real, well, I, you know, I had, what do they call it? Like puppy, like, you know, whatever, you
puppy
know,
love,
young boy
yeah,
or
puppy
girl.
Love, yeah. Right, right. Puppy love.
So, but my real boyfriend was, ironically, it was my husband. I met him, at my first job, actually. And he just seemed really nice. We just, you know, clicked as, you know, friends. He ended up taking me home one day, and we just ended up talking, and we just started talking from there. You know, I was like, oh, this is really, you know, a nice person. You know, he's listening to, you know, what I have to say. You know, I began to, like, you know, open up. He just started talking as friends, and I began to get comfortable, you know, around him. But at the same time, that comfort that I was feeling, it led to being clingy. So let me explain that. So when I explained about I had a void that needs to be filled, I was longing for attention. That attention I was longing for came from my first boyfriend. So it was like, you know, okay, I got my first boyfriend. He's giving me the attention I need. You know, this and other. So for me, in my mind, it's like, that's what I needed. That's what I want. So I'm going to do everything to keep it. So as a young girl, and at that age, I was like 17. I think he was like 20, 21. And I wasn't like, you know, experienced, you know, in life, you know, this and the other. So you know, we went, you know, through our ups and downs, you know, heartbreak and all this. And, but at the same time, he couldn't do no wrong in my sight, because all I'm thinking about is he's filling a void that I've been missing for so long. So whatever he do that's wrong, it does not matter, because he's still showing me the attention that I'm longing for, if that makes sense.
Yeah, so, it makes perfect sense. Yes, yes.
Yeah, so I was becoming addicted to toxic. So, like I said, we were both younger, both full of H-E-L-L. So we end up in a relationship behind my mom's back, because by this time, when we became in a serious relationship, I believe I had turned 18. But still, my mom would not give me permission to date. So what did I do? I went behind her back and started sneaking dating. Like I said, my mom was a Christian, and she was totally against the dating. So I went behind her back and started sneaking. And, you know, a lot of times when you sneak, something ends up popping up. And so that's what happened. Ended up popping
Would it be fair to say then that you were still hurting over what happened and still wanting attention and, like you said, being clingy because you felt violated, you felt cheap, maybe? Is that still a part of it?
Yeah, that's still the same part. I felt that this person is going to fulfill everything that I need him to fulfill in my life. He's gonna replace my loneliness. He's gonna replace me feeling like I had no self-worth. But at the same time, he did not make me feel I did not have, you know, self-worth. So when we got on with our relationship, like I said, when I was 18, that's when we got serious, and I ended up having my first child at 19 years old. And that was hard for me. And mind you, I'm still suppressing, you know, what happened to me when I was a child. That didn't come out until I was married. But I'm still dealing with that void. Still dealing with that void. So whenever I'm around my boyfriend, it's like that void is being filled. But in reality, it's not being filled. It's just a superficial thought that is being filled. And so, as we went along, we end up, eventually, getting married. I'm trying not to make it so long. Even before we got married, he was seeing someone else. He ended up, you know, messing around seeing someone else. And, in the back of my mind, it was like, okay, I know he's seeing someone else, but I still need this person. I still need this person to fill this void. So I'm going to accept the unacceptable just to be with that person to fill this void that I don't know how to get it filled any other way. So my self-worth, my loneliness, me feeling that I had no hope, that this person was my whole life, that became like my mental. So like I told you before, I tried to commit suicide twice. So after we ended up getting married, I found out that he had a child. I found out after we were married for 8 months. And so the people contacted my mom, and my mom called me, and she said, I need to talk to you. Your husband has another child. And I just couldn't believe it. So at that moment, he wasn't home. So I was like, okay, I just don't want to be here no more. And mind you, all throughout my life, I'm going to just put this in here, all throughout my life, even childhood after I was molested, when I was a teen, a young adult, all that, there was always a dark cloud over me. I mean, it was like I was just dealing with depression, and it was just escalating year after year. And so I got to the point where I was like, okay, this is just one more thing to my feelings, to my depression. Every bad experience I've had that traumatized me has been with a man. And I was like, I'm tired of getting hurt by men. And I was like, so someone is going to have to pay. So when he got there, I made up in my mind, I don't want to live anymore, and I'm not going to allow him to live anymore. When I tell you that enemy was speaking to me as though he was right in the room with me. So when he got in the house, I mentioned to him, you know, about the young girl. Of course, he said no. So I was like, okay, I didn't argue. We didn't argue too much. He went in the bathroom and closed the door. And hindsight, I thank God that he did that, because I got a knife. I got my Bible and got the knife. Because I wanted
Wait a minute. You got the Bible and got a knife?
Yes, I got the Bible and I got a knife, because in my mind I was going to take him out and I was going to take myself out.
And why the Bible?
Because that was my peace. I just wanted to have the Bible just with me, because I knew that there. I just wanted to have the Bible. Looking back, I don't know why I just grabbed the Bible. But, you know, I grabbed it. And, yeah, and so, in hindsight, looking back, I know that there's power in the Word of God. So, it wasn't even a half an hour. My mom and my sister came, and Pastor Bush, when I tell you, I have no idea how my mom and my sister got into that house. They came in there and, you know, and made, you know, everything okay. So, and I was just thinking, you know, how awesome God is, because that situation could have been all bad, you know.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, it could have really went all bad. But I thank God that, you know, we were able to overcome that situation. And, like, hey, we just celebrated 30 years of marriage. But so let's talk about the suppression, when that came about.
We're going to take a phone call in here, too, but I got to make one more comment here. So you not only forgave and got over the hurt you did at 10 years old, and after that, you also forgave your husband, and your marriage was healed, and you were able to stay together for 30 years.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
That that's what God can do.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
It is.
Yeah.
Let's take a quick phone call. Let's talk to Mick. Let's talk to Mick in New Mexico. Mick, come on in. Welcome.
Hey, Butch.
Hey.
Okay, here's a problem that some people don't realize. They've been brainwashed in the school system.
Okay.
Their sex education.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, yeah, sure.
That's part of it. That's the main thing. All that causes that.
Mm-hmm.
They brainwash them into a false belief system.
Yeah, and it's even worse today, Mick. It's much, much worse today.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Go ahead.
There's a word you've been using, nice. Don't use that word. That means stupid and a moronic. That's the original definition for that word.
Okay. All right. Didn't know that. Okay. All right. Anything else, Mick?
Your old definition in the Webster's Collegiate Dictionary. Now, that's a long time. Get what I'm saying?
Yep, I do. Okay. That's it. It's like using the word gay to mean homosexual. It's a whole different word. But yeah, okay, got you. Okay. All right, Mick. Thanks for calling. Appreciate it. Good call. Yeah. Folks, got lines open. You want to call and talk to us, go ahead, please, at 844-769-2944. Go ahead, please, Shine.
Okay, so the day I revisited when everything came crashing down after I got married. So I think we were married probably like about a year. And every time my husband and I would get intimate, I would begin to feel dirty. I began it got to a point where I'm like, why am I feeling like this? This is my husband. The Bible talks about marriage is honorable, the bed is undefiled. I'm doing what's right in the eyesight of God. So why is being intimate with my husband, why am I feeling this way? This went on, I would say, for 6 months. I mean, there were times where my husband would touch me, and I would literally feel like my skin was crawling. And I did not understand that. And even the smell of sex made me sick. And so I end up going to the bathroom. It was intimate one day, and I ended up going to the bathroom and just crying. I mean, I was just like, bawling, crying. And that's the first time it came to me. You were molested as a child. All those feelings I'd had at 10 years old revisited me when I was married. And when I tell you, I was like, okay, I didn't even tell my husband, because I'm like, okay, how can I tell this man this? How can I take these feelings out on him when he didn't do anything? He didn't molest me. So why am I feeling like this, you know, towards him? I struggle with that. So, and I was like, okay, Lord, I know as a wife, I have to fulfill my duties as a wife, but in turn, I'm being pained by my past. So I end up talking to an elder, you know, at my church, and that's the first person I've ever confessed I was molested to outside of anyone. Actually, we didn't even mention the word in my household. So that was the first person I ever said I was molested to. Wow. And when I tell you, it was like a weight that was lifted off of me. And that dark cloud that was following me all my life, in that instant, it felt like it evaporated. And it was like, wow. Oh, God, I had to put a name to that thing that was chasing me all my life. And so I eventually told my husband, and when I tell you, he was so loving, so patient, so understanding, and he let me work through it. You know, let me work through my feelings and process, you know, my feelings. But, that was deep, going through that process. It is important to understand, just because something happened to you at 10, in your mind, you might not revisit it until you're 20, 25, 30.
Mm-hmm.
Trauma affects people in different ways. And so that was something that I really had to ask God to help me with. So when I was older, as I got married, when that resurfaced, that's when, like, the resentment, it really came in. Because when I was a child, it was like, okay, I mean, I fear this person, but it wasn't, you know, like, I didn't really understand. So as an adult, now I understand, you know, sex and touching and all that. So my resentment, to be honest, it was on the borderline of hate. But mind you, the teachings that my mom instilled in us, hating someone wasn't an option for me. Because I would be too much thinking I would disappoint my mom if I actually hated that person. So,
wow.
It took me a while to get to my healing stage. With that, I had to get to the point where I had to forgive this person. And I battled with that, because I said to myself, again, why is this person winning? This person's going on with their life, and here I am, 20-some years old, newly married, doing what's right in the eyesight of God. But yet, I'm still feeling the effects of that 10-year-old girl that was hurt. And I still have to consider the person that violated me. And so
I'm going to interrupt you, but this is phenomenal. You were violated. You worked through that. You were almost raped. You were going with your husband. He was the daddy of another child while you're dating him. You went through all that. You got married. Now, folks, listen to this tremendous healing that Christ can do for anyone. She was molested, almost raped. Her fiancé, so to speak, had a child with another woman. They got married. She worked through the guilt that she had in feeling dirty with being with her husband. She forgave him. She forgave the others. I don't know if they even asked for forgiveness, but she didn't let it build inside her to cause resentment in her, then turn to hate in her. Almost did, to the point of murder.
Mm-hmm.
But this was what Christ can do for you also. And I'm convinced that somewhere out in this audience tonight, we're all over this country and all around the world, somebody's either going through this or has been through this. And I'm going to offer this while I'm thinking of it. If you need to talk to me about this, you want to share some thoughts with me, please let me help if I can. I know the one that can heal you. I know him personally. His name is Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
You can call me at 800-777-4403. Or if you live out of country, you can call 304-846-4448. You tell Lisa, I need to talk to Pastor Butch. She will find me. You leave a time and I'll call you back. Folks, this coming weekend's teaching is going to be on forgiveness and healing. This was not an accident. I didn't plan this teaching before I already booked Shun to do this program before this teaching was given to me. Now, Shun is bringing forth an example tonight of what this healing can do. Shun, we're down about the last minute or so. What do you want to say in closing?
Tell
us how to get your book. How can you get your book? Who can they call to get a copy of the book?
They can call 414-737-3646. And they can also go to my website at authorsjt.com. And they can follow me on Instagram and Facebook if they choose at authorsjt.
All right. What's that number again?
414-737-3646.
And how much is your book, sweetheart?
$18.99. So with taxes, I believe it comes out to like $20.01.
Folks, this is a book you should read. It's phenomenal. I'm telling you, I read it. I know what I'm talking about. Again, 414-737-3646. 414-737-3646. Shun, thank you so much for joining us tonight. I appreciate it, sweetheart. I'll be in touch in the future, okay?
Okay, bye-bye.
Take care, my friend. Take care. Folks, love you. And by the bar tonight, we're going to bring a gentleman in from Uganda. I want to share a story with you about trying to take care of orphan children. I'll see you there. Good night.
Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.